Please take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14. It's a great passage, that fills me with hope and awe. And I'm glad you're here this morning to share it with me. It's good to see you out. I think about the implications of that opening verse of John 14. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. What are the implications of somebody saying, believe in God, believe also in me? When I think about that, when I was younger, I think about my own earthly father, and I think about the things that he has done in his life and is able to do. And I would never say it about my earthly father. Believe in dad, believe also in me, because my dad could do things I couldn't do. And now that I'm older and I have sons that come along, and one of my sons is starting his own business. He's got his own app, and it's for kids, and he says, you know, I had to download it, and so he downloaded it. It's a little thing you hit. It's like he went through Apple and got it on Apple side. He went through Google and, you know, had to do so many steps to get it through sites. Where did he learn to program like that? I wouldn't even say it about my sons. Believe in my sons, believe also in me. Well, my sons can do things I cannot do. Think about Jesus saying, believe in God, believe also in me. That's unqualified. That's an astounding statement. And to me, the implication is he has to be God to say that. Because who would set themselves up to have you believe in them as much as you believe in God? And we know from earlier in John chapter 5, when they were upset with Jesus because he was not only breaking the Sabbath in their mind, but he was calling God his own Father, in John 5 and verse 18, making yourself equal with God. And Jesus doesn't bat an eye. He talks about the ways that he and the Father are equal. Whatever the Father does, the Son can do likewise. Would you say that about your earthly father or about any of your children? Whatever they can do, I can do. I don't know about you, but that's an impressive statement. Now he's talking about God. Whatever the Father does, I'll do the same thing. The Father raises the life. The Son can raise life also. Look at the ways that we're equal. And now here he stands before the apostles. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Well, it makes me step back and ask the question, well, what caused their heart to be troubled? You get nervous at times? Do you take a project on that you don't know really how to do? But you're going to try it anyways, just because you're really going to try. And your heart can be troubled because you have to about do something that you're not really feeling good about, etc. They had their heart troubled for a different reason. Jesus has just told the apostles, and if you look at Matthew's account and Mark's account and Luke's account, and you read the text carefully, they'll each have a statement that those in the upper room were the apostles. And that's all that we know that was in the upper room. And so he's talking to the 12, and now 11, because Judas has just left. And they all heard, that one of you will betray me. And the 12 look at each other. Who is this? And then when he dips the bread and gives it to Judas, and what you do quickly, he gets up and leaves. And now, that's troubling enough that they're thinking, okay, who's the traitor? Peter is told this. In verse 36 of chapter 13, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Now, it seems to me that Peter, you have an absent moment where you don't, someone says something that doesn't click, then you have your mind already there some place. I think Peter skipped over the love part about by this all men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. He goes back to that previous statement earlier in the text. If you go jump back to verse 33, little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. He's hooked on that statement. So he comes back and he addresses Jesus and asks about it. Verse 36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. This bothers Peter. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what's tomorrow going to bring. We just don't know. And Peter, he knows Jesus is leaving, and I can't go with you? That doesn't seem fair to Peter. Verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly. And whenever we know John or Jesus uses that word, truly, truly, or verily, verily, or amen, amen, take this statement to the bank. I say to you, a rooster will not crow until you deny me three times. Now Jesus, who seems to be able to do anything and know everything, just tells you, you're going to fail three times. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. And if that doesn't trouble you, I think it would trouble me if he would have told me that to me. Does he know your failures? Does he know every one? One, two, three. Three times before the rooster crows, he knows I'm going to deny him. Now, I don't know that. Peter doesn't know that. He's convinced he's not going to do that. I'm going to lay down my life for you. But Jesus has just said, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. Now you know why their heart's troubled? Now you know why their heart's troubled. One is going to be a betrayer. Peter is going to deny him three times before morning. And they're troubled. I hope you taste the irony in the passage. This is how I taste the irony. Jesus, in less than 24 hours, is going to die. He's going to go through some of the most painful death that we can possibly imagine. We use the word excruciating because we can't really think of another word that's more painful than excruciating. He will be crucified. If anybody ought to be worried or troubled in heart, it would be Jesus. But the irony is this. He's there at the table with the 12, and their hearts are all troubled now because there's going to be a betrayer, and Peter's going to deny three times before morning. And they're all troubled, and he's trying to calm them down. I find that is an incredible irony. And so when Jesus says, believe in God, it's the God who knows you past, present, and future. He's the God who can accurately tell you before morning what you're going to do. He knows that information. You say, Dan, how can anybody know that kind of information? Well, he's known for a long time. For a long time. I'm going to be able to do this. I can't escape. There we go. This may not work. Here it goes. It's going to be a little slower, but that's okay. Ah. I love this manuscript. This is the Isaiah A manuscript they found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. In this manuscript has been dated to 125 years before Jesus was born. This manuscript was written by hand, man, hand, script, writing, handwritten document, was written in Jesus' grandfather's or great-grandfather's day, before he was born. This was written. It was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's kind of hard to maneuver a little bit. I think about Jesus in Luke 4 having to find a place in Isaiah. He had to find, well, there's no verses or chapter, you know, here. But on the bottom, boy, my eyes are getting worse. I come down to here, and I'm looking at the bottom right here, by the way. And, it's closer. I did this here recently. There we go. And I want to get down to here. Verse 6. This, and I can blow this up to you, for you can see it, hopefully. This is a translation by Peter Flint in Western University in Canada and Eugene Ulrich in Notre Dame. And so the highlighted passage in red is the Hebrew. And it's their translation. I know you're going to say, Dean, it reads like my Bible, but that's my point. It's going to read so close to your own text. But I want to read from his passage. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. You just got to stop right there. You mean to tell me there's a passage in the Bible that's written it was written 700 years before Jesus. But this copy is 125 years before Jesus. And then it says a child's going to be born, but he's going to be God. That's just incredible. And this one who was born and who is God, the government's going to rest on his shoulders. He's going to be the king. He is going to be Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We're born out of the water and spirit. We're born out of Christ and his words. It was the passage beforehand. I wanted to read with that. So this child is born, a son is given. Where will that be? Well, I gotta look back up here. Oh, I'm so glad they have it up there. And there we go. For the one who is in anguish, there will be no gloom. In the former time, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later, in the later time, he will make it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Where is he going to be? This one who was born and yet God is going to be seen up in Galilee of the Gentiles, of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who lived in the land of deep shadows, light has shined. Somewhere up there in Galilee, those who sit in darkness are going to see a great light. Who is this one, the great light that's coming? Well, he's going to be born, and yet he's going to be God. How can you know that 700 years before Christ? If I scroll down here, if I get to the right spot, wrong way here. There we go. There it is. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus says in our passage, believe in God. Believe also in me. He is God. And he's just about to fulfill this passage of Isaiah 53. And they're worried, but he's not. We come down to verse 4. Surely he has borne our sufferings and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that made us whole was upon him. And by his bruises we are healed. Who's going to take the punishment for Peter's denying him three times? Who's going to take that? Jesus is going to take that. And getting down to verse 12. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great. And he, that's Jesus, he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life. Jesus, you're going to divide the spoils because you died and was numbered with the transgressors. He died between who? He was considered as a what? As a transgressor. And for that reason, yet he bore the sins of many and made intercession for their transgressions. What is Jesus doing? In his dying on the cross, within less than 24 hours, he's going to go through the excruciating pain. He's done it and is willing to do it. And he knows Peter's failure in the next couple of hours. He knows. He warns him in the garden, pray that you enter not into temptation. It was a real for Peter. But Jesus knew it. And with all that, what? Well, with all that in mind, verse 2, John 14. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Peter, even though you're going to deny me three times, I'm still preparing a place for you. Because Peter, after he denies, is going to repent. He's going to go back. He's going to strengthen the brethren. And he'll be the rock that Jesus wants him to be later on. Believe in God. Believe also in me. It's on his shoulders. How can he do that? Because he is. He is the great I am. And when he says it, he means it. And it happened. Knowing the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46. And he fulfills it. This morning, let us put our trust in the one who knows you front and back and still loves you and sees your faults. But put your faith in him. Return back to him. Exalt him. Obey him. Worship him. Believe in God. He said, believe also in me. Perhaps you're here this morning. And you realize the foundation for which we believe is from the scriptures. And that he accomplished it. And the world has never been the same since. And may your life be touched also. And you put your faith in him. If you're ready to respond to the gospel, come forward while we stand and while we sing.